Well, hello and welcome to the Hometown Church podcast. We're here talking all things Jesus, Christianity, the Bible. My name is Jesse, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, Pastor Deacon Ailes.
Hello.
And today we have special guest, Pastor Mike Langlois.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be here.
It's awesome to have you. If you're watching online, you might notice that we've got a couple upgrades this week. We've got a sign that was made by our own Jeannie Davis. We've got a couple arms for these mics. We're making moves here on the Hometown Church podcast. Deacon, what do we got going on today?
Yeah, so a big topic of discussion in the leadership circles of the church has been discipleship. You know, some of Jesus' final words were, go and make disciples of all nations, right? And so we want to talk a lot more about that, right? It's important to Jesus, so it should be important to us. So we're going to be talking to Pastor Mike here today, and we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a disciple, about what discipleship looks like, and kind of how that might play out in our lives today. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great. I'm a little confused. I thought we were talking about the Masters today, the Masters Golf Tournament. This is going to catch me off guard here a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like we could. They cross paths a lot.
Yeah, so there's sure probably some overlap.
Awesome. Well, let's get started.
Yeah, for sure. Mike, we have a mission statement here at Hometown Church. Right. I was wondering if maybe you could break that down for us. What is the Hometown mission statement? Where does it come from and what does it mean?
I would love to turn that back on you guys because that's what I've been doing is asking people, what's our statement? And of course, we get a variety of answers to that question. But we're about making healthy disciples that passionately love Jesus and authentically love people. Mm-hmm. And of course, that comes from the Great Commission. Deacon, you mentioned Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is the core of that. And it's Jesus' last words before he ascends to heaven. Right. It's his chance to go, okay, guys, this is it. And there was a small group of people gathered there. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you even to the end of the age. So that's part of what's in that mission statement, Hometown mission statement. But also, if you go back a couple chapters in Matthew 22, Jesus was asked the question, what's the greatest command, right? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and then love others as yourself. And so that's our package. Of course, that's the mission statement for us as a church, as well as individuals, as followers of Christ.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I would love to talk a little bit more about that discipleship piece specifically. Yeah. You know, what is a disciple? What defines a disciple? And, you know, can you be a disciple and not a Christian? So let's unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. So, the definition of a disciple, I think I've heard a lot of definitions. One of my favorite definitions comes from the Vine Project, and it's a disciple is a learner of Jesus, not somebody who just knows what he taught, but knows him, the person. And of course, that's a process, a lifelong journey for us to know Christ, to know not only what he taught, but how he lived, what he did, what he didn't do, what he said. It's a following and an imitating of a person, of Christ. And that's how I would define it. I like that word learner. And it's a continuous process of continuing to learn and then becoming more like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, along those same lines, when we talk about discipline in any kind of way, parenting for sure, it comes up just as we want to be self-disciplined, right? It's training. When we do discipline, we're doing training. And so self-discipline, I'm training myself to be able to do this thing or to not do that thing or something. And so a disciple, right? It's really just kind of carrying on. I'm following in the training, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, right. But also they're walking with the Lord, like you said, getting to know him personally.
Yeah. I like Jesus said in Luke 6:40, he said, a student is not above his teacher, but when he's fully trained, he will be like him. Yeah. And I think that's the heart of what Christ was trying to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so why would you say that discipleship in a local church is so important?
Well, I think we talked about it at the beginning. It was his last words. It's what Jesus gave himself to on the way to the cross. Obviously, he came to die. And be raised for forgiveness of sins and eternal life to give us that gift, but along the way he's giving his life away mm-hmm. to this group of people, these 12 men in particular, and it was his plan to carry that message forward after he ascended to heaven. So pretty important to Jesus. Mm-hmm. He gave himself fully to that, and he's asking us to do the same, following his footsteps.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, too, you know, when we talk about discipleship and the call of Jesus to go out and make disciples, like what a disciple is someone who's following that command as well, right? It's someone who's also making disciples. And when we think about like the church and how it grew and how it spread, it was through multiplication, right? It's people going out and making other disciples and growing, and then they go out and they go make disciples. So I think that's a huge aspect of it, right?
Right.
I think one thing that I'm kind of interested in, when we had our last leadership meeting, the question was brought up that I thought was a really interesting question of, can you be a Christian and not be a disciple?
I thought we weren't going to talk about like hard questions on this podcast. Yeah, I you know, I thought about that. Gosh, I don't think so. I mean, when you think about what it is that Jesus was trying to do, I think you take disciple, a learner of Jesus, and you take a Christian, and you say they're synonymous. We've somehow separated those, I think. And so I think in a pure sense, no. Can a Christian who is a disciple get stalled out? Boy, I sure think so. I've been stalled out. I've been stuck. Yeah. Maybe a little stagnant. Maybe even back up a little bit in some areas. Or stay down in that area of being maybe a spiritual infant or a spiritual child for a long, long time. Yeah, I think that's true. Certainly, that can be true. But I would say that's how I'd answer that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? I mean,
well, and we even talked about that in the whole last series, right? And so many people can get stalled out at so many different spaces. Right. So you might, and we'll talk, I think, a little bit more about the infant, the child stuff. But I'm going to use that terminology. Yep. So sorry if you're confused, but. Yeah. You might be a child or an infant or something of that nature, get up to a point because you are following Jesus, you're growing, you're getting in the word, and then bam, you get stalled out. Maybe there's maybe there's some sin, you know, that's in your life or something, or maybe just something happens that kind of stalls you out.
Right.
Well, and then you need pressing to that next step. So man, it just happens. It happens.
Yeah, I want to make a couple shout outs here if I could. Mm-hmm. First is to the shepherding cohort from our leadership development community, because they've been working on this. So the things we're going to talk about here, things I'm going to share, we've been talking about for several months now, and I really appreciate that group, just the things that God has been bringing us to. And one of the things that God brought us to was Real Life Discipleship, which is a church out in Idaho, and they do some things that are really amazing, and I'm looking forward to sharing. So some of the things we're going to talk about, maybe many of the things we're going to talk about here, are as a result of that shepherding cohort and this Real Life Discipleship material. We'll talk a little bit about the tool that we're testing a little bit. And so I want to make sure everybody knows this isn't for me. This is things that God's been bringing to us, and that's why we're talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and it sounds like, just to go back a little bit to your point, that it doesn't seem as though a Christian could not also be a disciple. You know, I think there's probably some differentiation even between someone who's just coming on a Sunday, trying to partake in different things, and then someone who's coming because they really just love Jesus and they want to grow, they want to know him better, they want to love people. Mm-hmm. There might be a little bit of a gap between those two, but maybe that's the infant, or maybe that's the dead is one of the things too, right?
Spiritually dead. If they're not a believer, they're not a Christian. Yeah.
Right. And maybe they've been coming to church their whole lives, and they haven't been saved. They haven't taken the next step. They haven't whatever. So there might be that gap. And so if you're listening in or watching in, it, you know, hopefully we'll get into some stuff that'll kind of make us think a little bit. Where am I at along that stage?
But,
That's good. Yeah, so you talked a little bit about Jesus and discipleship, right? He multiplied his life. You said he poured his life out into those people. Right. Really, how did Jesus model discipleship?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And of course, we're blessed to have the Gospels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we can pour into the Gospels and read through and look at all the nuances of how Jesus did what he did. So this is from the Real Life Discipleship materials. Three words, three descriptors that I think are not complete, but they give you at least a good idea of what Jesus was doing. And they are, he was intentional, he was relational, and he was reproducing, he was reproductive. That was his mindset. So if you look at each of those, Jesus was incredibly intentional. He didn't just wing it. You know, he was very, very determined and purposeful about everything that he did, whether it was how he worked with different people, how he worked with each of his disciples, how he worked with them as a group, things that he said, things that he did. It was all very intentional. He told stories for a reason. He asked questions for a reason. He didn't answer a lot of the questions that were asked of him for a reason in the way that it was expected to be answered. So I think intentionality is huge. The second is he did all of that in this relational context, which I think is really important for us to hang on to. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, our way of doing discipleship here at Hometown. But I think we can think we got to be in the lecture hall. And Jesus did have some lecture hall, you know, the crowds and so forth. But he was about really moving into that inner circle, the 12 and then the 3, and in a relational context. He did life with them. You know, 3 years of doing life, they were together a lot, you know, and we can't duplicate that. Maybe in the home with parenting we can, but we can't duplicate that. And yet that was a key thing, relational. And then lastly, we already talked about this, but just you mentioned just that idea that, okay, this has to keep going. After I leave and I ascend to heaven, you guys are going to take this thing. You're going to run with it. You're going to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And that was his vision. So it was a reproductive mindset, and that mission that he gave them was reproductive. Yeah. Reproducing disciples. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it seems less that Jesus was kind of going to where these people were and trying to do some lecture, like you said, but he was more, I'm on a mission from my Father, and I'm going to pull you along with me on that mission. You're not going to do it real well all the time,
that's
Peter.
Right. Yeah.
But
Peter, yeah.
Not to call out any names or whatever.
Or
but,
Jesse, was there a Jesse there?
Yeah, there is now. Yeah.
There is now.
But you're going to do the things that I'm doing. And I've heard about this from other people kind of around, you know, the old GCC days, right, where people like this, my mission is I'm going to go out and I'm going to share the gospel with people. And instead of meeting you, you know, young guy, one-on-one in a coffee shop, we're going to go out and you're going to do that with me. I think he probably has like a 1% success rate of, you know, people wanting to meet with him again. But those people grow a ton, you know, as you're kind of pulling people along with you in the same way that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, I love all three of those, the intentionality, the relational aspect, and the idea of reproducing. And I feel like if you take any one of those three out, it kind of creates a snag in the system where it's not working anymore, right? We live in a time where everyone wants to have as much of an influence as possible, right? There's a million podcasts out there trying to reach a bunch of a big audience at once rather than just starting with having influence over a few, right? Like with Jesus, he had his inner circle of the three that he would meet with, and then he had the group of 12, and then he had the 72 that he sent out, and now he's got billions of people following him. Now, right, where it started with a small group that he was intentional with, and he had them kind of like keep going down and reproducing and being intentional with those and being intentional with the next and the next and the next. Yeah. And it just kind of naturally flowed from there.
Yeah, I like those words. I think we need to use those words often as we're talking about this subject. And it's not comprehensive. There's other aspects that we could dial into as we look at the Gospels and how Jesus did what he did. But this gets us a long way down the road, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like I can already see, you know, if you're relational and reproducing, but you're not intentional, then what's the product? What's the end product? Yeah, just people hanging out. You know, if you're intentional and reproducing, but you have no relationship, well, there's a huge miss there. You know, it's not. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to have the same effect. You know, so on and so forth. I think. Yeah, they really are all pretty essential all at once.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe what are some other examples of discipleship that we see in Scripture of like Jesus doing it or other people doing it?
I think that's a great question. I think it's all over the Scriptures, all over the New Testament for sure. We talked about the Gospels. We can look at Jesus' life and see that's what he poured himself into. But I think about relationships that we see in New Testament, actually the book of Acts, which we're going to go through a big chunk of the book of Acts this summer. I'm super excited about that, 12 weeks in the book of Acts. And we're going to see that pattern of people coming to faith in Christ and growing and devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread and prayer and fellowship. And leaders are being raised up and churches are being planted and people are being sent out. And so the vision that Jesus had, we see already took root and was happening. So that we see that in the book of Acts. We see it in relationships like with Paul and Timothy, for instance. We see pieces of that in the language that Paul uses. I also think about verses or passages that really speak to disciple making, like in 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul's talking about planting and watering, but God causes the growth. That's discipleship language. Or in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul doesn't mince any words. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So that's discipleship. That's what we're talking about, being a learner of Christ. And they could be a learner of Paul, who was a learner of Christ. There's that multiplication. Or even just in Colossians 1, at the end of Colossians 1, Paul talks about what he's given himself to. He says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. It's that idea of what Brent talked about last week of being, you know, mature in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works within me. Paul was all about multiplying his life, making disciples, raising up leaders, planting churches. So I think it's everywhere, you know, in the New Testament. You guys see other examples?
Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that I was going to call out. I mean, Timothy, even with Epaphroditus, right? There's these little mentions of certain people like that, or even you know, Onesimus with Philemon, right? Mm-hmm. To where there's just touches, even if it seems like a small touch, there's just a touch that says, let me multiply myself a little bit here. Let me help you. Right. You're going through something. Yeah. Let's work together on it. Yeah. And then suddenly that person's way more useful for the church, you know.
I was thinking about how amazing it is. I don't know if you guys think about this. I think about this often that, okay, it's 2024. We're in Bloomington, Minnesota. We're sitting here talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're disciples of Christ. Mm-hmm. This worked.
Yeah.
This thing worked. Jesus, the vision that Jesus had worked, and that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the Great Commission. I'm also grateful for our church because since Kathy and I have been part of the Great Commission Association of Churches for almost 40 years now, and it's always been a focus on Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and we benefited from being discipled along the way by various people and still are. And the fact that we're here and we're talking about this, it's just amazing to me. I'm just very thankful.
Yeah. If it were just some workout routine or something like that, I don't think it would have caught on. But the Spirit of God is at work in this. Yeah. It kind of proves the power.
Yeah, he knows so what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
The wisdom of God.
So this may be a weird question, but why do you think Paul, and this isn't one of the questions that we pre-prepared, but why do you think Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ? Why do you think he didn't just say, imitate Jesus like I'm imitating Jesus? Why do you think he called that out?
That's a good question.
Yeah, sorry, we weren't prepared, but I'd just love to get thoughts.
I don't do the hard questions.
No, I don't know. I like that question. And I think there's an importance of having like a physical example that you can see, right? Mm-hmm. Like Jesus is the revelation of God, the God who is unseen, right? Nobody has ever seen God except through Jesus. And so people needed the example of Jesus in the flesh to come down. Mm-hmm. And so then the people who saw Jesus, who were with Jesus, talked to Jesus, were able to follow that example and replicate it and multiply it and keep it going. And so then, you know, Paul's like, well, you haven't seen Jesus, but you've seen me. And
that's right.
I imitate him.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, Paul said, I think it's in Philippians, he said, you've seen the way I live. I think he's talking to Timothy. Actually, I think it's in Timothy. He's talking to Timothy. Look, you know what I say. You know my lifestyle. You know what I'm doing, what I believe, how I practice. And so we need that, don't we? We need that with one another. And when I think about a couple of the guys that have discipled me over the years, Charlie Meyer and Rob Gerber are the two guys that really jump out at me. I needed them in my life. I needed them to know me. I needed them to be close to me so they could be pointing to certain things, and I could ask them questions. And they, so I think there is that need to have somebody there that says, this is what it looks like. It's not perfect. It's not like Jesus, but it's moving in that direction.
Yeah. So this is going to sound really silly, okay? But I had a kick a few years ago of wanting to learn, I'm laughing even just saying it out loud, a certain martial art, which sounds cool, but it wasn't. I wanted to learn a certain martial art, and so there were these online courses. So I was like sitting there, and my kids were laughing at me while I'm trying to do certain things. It's hilarious. I want you to get a picture of this in your mind.
You demonstrate it for us?
Yeah, no, I can't. No. I can't and won't. But I stopped after a couple weeks because I just thought no one can call out what I'm doing wrong or what I'm doing right. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that
feedback,
in-person discipleship that says, hey, the way you responded to that thing, either to this hardship or to, you know, getting those buttons pushed, that's not it. That's not how Jesus would have wanted it. So I think, you know, as we follow Paul's example there, we've got somebody in the flesh who can also say, Timothy, don't do that. Right. Have sound doctrine, you know. Right. Watch after your stomach. those kinds of things, right? Who love us and know us really intimately, like Jesus does. Mm-hmm. And we have the word, of course, but Paul can be that person who says, this is what this means in your context, and this is what you should do.
That's good, yeah. I like that a lot. It's very relational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. See, it all ties back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would love to talk a little bit about what hometown's discipleship process currently is.
Yeah, that's good. I think we have a lot to say about this. Let's back up just a little bit and think about some things that we've been working on that remind us that discipleship isn't just this one thing. Mm-hmm. It's not just this me having coffee with a guy once a week, you know, talking about Bible stuff, you know, or whatever. God's inviting us to engage in different ways where he helps us grow. And we've identified, we call them the six P's at Hometown Church. And we even have a little diagram. But I like this because it's a bigger picture view of maybe how discipleship happens, how God helps us grow as he invites us into these environments and into these things. So practical teaching would be one where we're hearing the word taught. Maybe on a Sunday morning or through a podcast or reading a book, reading the word, or having somebody teach us something. Practical teaching, private disciplines, we talked a lot about that. You know, you guys talked about that last week with Brandon, did a whole series on that where we dive into learning how to connect with God through the word, through prayer, giving, just all the spiritual disciplines that will help us grow. Personal mission is all about, okay, I can take what God's given me. I can give it away to other people. I can serve. I can bless people with our blessed strategy. We can do that. So that's personal mission. And then there's purposeful relationships. And often we talk about small groups or a mentor relationships. And that's kind of what I think about when I think about discipleship is I'm going to meet with somebody, you know, and it's going to be this one-on-one thing or maybe in a small group. And that's part of it. That's part of this process. The other one that's vital, and that's providential circumstances. That's where God is engaging and intervening in our lives. And then we got to figure out, how am I going to respond to this? Could be a trial, could be a tragedy, could be a decision that you made. I think about mission trips, short-term mission trips might fall into this category where you decide, I'm going to go and be uncomfortable and go to another country and I'm going to share my faith with people who don't speak my language. And God can use all that. And then at the center of it, is the grace of God, the powerful grace of God, because without grace, we have none of this growth. We have no relationship with God. We're saved by grace. We live and breathe through the grace of God every day. Paul says, I am what I am who I am by the grace of God. And so grace is really tying all this stuff together. So that's those six P's. So we recognize that discipleship happens in a variety of contexts, in a variety of places, different ways. You know, historically, I think we put a lot of weight in, and Brent talked about this last week too, the weekend service, where, discipleship's happening on the weekend service, and it's happening in small groups. Now, I think there is some of that, right? You guys would agree there's discipleship happening there, but that there's a lot more. There's a lot more opportunity for us to go deeper than just those two areas. Maybe the modeling, we would say, at Hometown, modeling has been a big thing where we look at examples and we try to follow those examples like we just talked about with Paul. Mm. I think we're, this is just my opinion, I think we're pretty good at making first-generation disciples where I'm working with somebody or somebody in my small group and they're growing. But we got to go further than that. We talked about that third element, you know, mm-hmm. that reproductive piece. And so the word that I've been thinking about a lot is just being more intentional about that, being more intentional with how I'm engaging with people. And I think we have a lot of room to grow on that at Hometown. We can look at these areas, these six P's, and we can go, okay, how can I help somebody, intentionally help somebody in these different environments, different ways? I love 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, Paul talks about running with purpose in every step. He doesn't want to shadow box. He doesn't want to punch the air. He wants his punches to land. And that's what I feel like we're in this transition where we're doing disciple making okay. We have some first generation disciples. We do it with our kids. We do it in our homes. But we've got to help people then go, oh, I'm supposed to grow up and do what you did with me. Okay, I get it. And so that whole multiplication thing has to take effect. So one last thought on that, and that is that I think it starts with our leaders. We talked about this at the leader meeting the other night, that we've got to make sure we're discipling our leaders. Hmm. And I think there are leaders who are being discipled intentionally, mm-hmm. relationally, and with that reproductive mindset, but there are a lot of our leaders who are not. And I think we have to start there. And so that's where this workbook comes in. We can talk a little bit about that. But those are a couple thoughts. Maybe you guys could comment on that before we go a little further. But there's lots to talk about in this whole process discussion.
Yeah. If there's anything that I've learned since, getting raised up right in 2015, but then even before that, is that leadership in general is pretty lonely. It's pretty easy to kind of end up being on your own island. Maybe you had a ministry or something that you're in charge of. And there can be some coaching that'll happen, but otherwise it's pretty lonely. And so I definitely see how working and making sure that our leaders are discipled and that they're discipled in such a way that they would be reproducing would, I think, solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's a good place to start for us to have that solid base. It's what Jesus did. He picked a few.
Yeah.
Made sure they were solid. Took a while. Took 3 years for Jesus to do it. So we need to remember to be patient as God is patient with us, you know. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. One thing I really love about the discipleship process, the six P's of areas of discipleship that we look at is it's really all-encompassing for someone's life, right? I think we have the tendency to try to, like, compartmentalize our faith and make it just like an aspect of our life. We come to church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. We go to, we go to Bible study on Tuesdays. We go do whatever, and, like, that's it, and that's good. Then the rest of my time, I can focus on me. I can focus on my career, my family, my hobbies, whatever. But really, following Jesus is something that should be consuming your whole life, right? And so I think you talked about, like, how you know, Sundays and small groups can have such a strong emphasis. Like, we can kind of make that into something more than it is, and something that's going to have a bigger impact than it really should be. And it's because, like, for some people, that's all they get, right? They get the Bible twice a week, and that's just not enough.
Not enough, yeah.
So it's like it's easy to kind of make that a bigger thing than it is, because for some people, that's the only thing they get. But if that's all they're getting anyway, they're not going to be growing like they should be, right?
Yeah, 100%. I love what you just said there, Jesse. I appreciate you guys and your example, you know, of pressing in to make. And this is what Christ invited people to do, is to follow his example. He was all in, that we would be all in learning him and obeying him and becoming like him. Yeah, it's not a couple days a week thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it seems like what we're really talking about here too is identity. You know, like it's easy to think like I'm a hunter, you know, mm-hmm. and hunting's awesome, you know,
right.
For a lot of people, I'm a hunter. And I go to church on Sundays, and I
I'm a golfer.
And
I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian. Yeah, but Jesus has called us to a lot more than that, right? I mean, we can love hunting, we can fish, we can play sports, we can, you know, work on cars, all those different things. But that's like the shelf item, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's the shelf item. We are disciples. We are followers of Christ, and that should be all encompassing in our lives.
Yeah.
And and I also like to do woodworking, or whatever. But it's not my identity. And so I think once we really hopefully flip the paradigm and think, no, this is the key. This is the blood in my veins as I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, then it seems like these other things, you know, the intentionality, the relational aspect, the reproducing aspect, they might come a little bit more naturally instead of trying to fit it in a tiny box inside of a tiny box inside of your life as a hunter or a football player, whatever.
I think that kind of comes back to a question earlier that we didn't really touch on, or we kind of touched on the one aspect of it. We didn't really touch on the other aspect of, can you be a Christian and not a disciple? And I think the answer there is probably no. But then there's the flip side of that. But can you be a disciple and not a Christian? And this is something that was actually brought up to me by Tom McManus from, I'll shout out Tom, from our Lakeville location. We had a conversation after we had this leadership meeting. He's like, well, you know, you might not be able to be a Christian without being a disciple, but you can be a disciple without being a Christian, because everybody's worshiping something, right? Everyone is giving their life to something. And where are you putting your identity in, right? What are you calling yourself? And like, that's the thing that you're becoming a disciple of. That's the thing that you're putting your worth and your value into, right?
Yeah. Certain people around the church could be a learner of pickleball. I'm not going to say who specifically.
Names. Yeah, we don't want to talk about somebody. Yeah.
Anybody, you know, but you know, that can be, and I'm not saying it is for this guy, okay? but that can be the thing, right? I'm a learner. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to watch my YouTube videos. Boy, I sure would love some more time with the Lord. But I'm also happy to watch these 4 hours of pickleball videos. I'm not saying he does this. I'm just saying a person could do that.
A person could do that. A person. That's good.
Yeah.
Let me, I just want to comment too on, you mentioned this earlier, just those stages of growth. That's one of the exciting things that I think is helpful for us that we're trying to take hold of and maybe use. I hope we use this because I think it's a good way of looking at growth. And it's modeling after the physical growth steps, where a person is born, so they're born again, they become a Christian. Now they're an infant, they're a spiritual infant, just like we're a physical infant. Then they grow to be a child, and then they grow to be a young adult, and then a parent. And if you follow that physical and say that's the spiritual stages, that makes a lot of sense with me, and it helps us too. As we think about how do I work with, if I'm going to disciple somebody, how do I work with an infant? I have a grandson who's 2, and I can't say, Jules, go read this book and come back and tell me what you think of it. He's going to look at me cross-eyed. Like, I need to be more hands-on with him because he's an infant. And I need to read the book to him and maybe eventually teach him how to read, which my daughter's doing that, but my grandson Frank, he's a little older. I can say, Frank, go read this book, and come back and tell me what you think of it. And let's talk about it. And he could do that. So he's a child. He's a spiritual child. So I like the stages because it helps us think about where we're at. You talked about evaluating kind of where am I at on that, and am I moving? But also as we intentionally and relationally and reproductively work with people, we can do what Jesus did. He customized his approach in working with people. And he does that with us too. He's like a personal trainer that customizes the workout for each of his kids. And we can do that too in terms of how we disciple. So I really like, and that came out of that, you know, the real life discipleship materials, the stages of growth and kind of learning, okay, what does that look like? What is each person in each of those stages? What are they kind of, how do you describe them, you know? And you can find yourself somewhere in there too.
Yeah. 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 Boy, it really seemed like Jesus talked differently to the sons of thunder than he did with Peter at various times, right? They needed different things. They're different people, you know, and it's it gets me in the heart so much that God is so intimate, knowing so much of us that he says, you know, follow me in this way. I'll bring you along on this thing with these trials, with these victories, with all these
with
different
this
things.
Learning, this teaching, with this. Yeah.
Because it's exactly what you need. Because I know you.
Yeah. It's not a one size fits all. Maybe that's one of the things that we've not done well, you guys, is just that's one of the other things that we've worked on and developed is this description of a healthy disciple at hometown. And I really like this. There's 8 habits, character qualities that we have listed out. Things like reading the Bible and praying, giving, sharing your faith, discipling another person, those kinds of things. But we can't apply these things the same way. And I wonder if we've been a little bit guilty in doing, not guilty, but we've tried that. We said, okay, everybody read this thing. Well, yeah, we have to recognize people are at different places, and then in those eight areas, work with them where they're at, or they may get discouraged. They may give up, and we don't want that to happen. We want to help them see, oh, you're making progress. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. You're growing. God's working with you. So I love the things that we're working on, the stages of growth, these eight character qualities, also the six P's. I think it's a lot, maybe if you're hearing this for the first time, it's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But as you start working with it, it makes sense, and it all fits together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and boy, it's amazing how much of this is so similar to just parenting in general. You're trying to bring them along in those stages. You realize not every one of your kids are the same. In fact, none of them generally are exactly the same, and it takes a tailored approach, because otherwise what can happen is they start to compare. Yeah, I'm not quite like that, and so I must be a failure.
Right.
And I'm so thankful that Jesus isn't like that, because I'd be a failure. I just want to say that right now on the record. I'd be a failure.
So kind of shifting gears here a little bit. Yeah. I know for myself, I've been in many seasons of my life where I've had someone who's been intentionally discipling me, and those are some of the seasons of my life where I've experienced most the most growth that I've ever experienced in my life. And then other seasons of my life where I haven't had someone like that in my life. I haven't had someone where I could be like, hey, walk me through this thing. How am I doing here? What am I doing well? What should I be doing better? But genuinely wanting to have that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you had any advice for someone who doesn't have that person in their life. Yeah. Where can they go to seek that person? What should they be looking for in a person like that?
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful question. And what I would say is to start by just praying and say, God knows what you need, what we need, and how he wants to bring people. Maybe start with the people that he's already brought around you, leaders or others. And I would say is start by thinking about an area that you want to grow in. Maybe you look at this list of eight habits and character qualities and you go, gosh, I want to learn how to share my faith more boldly, as an example. That would be a good one. That's one I would like to keep growing in. Mm. And so you'd start to think about who's good at that. Mm. You know, a Tim Weber or a Courtney Lewis or a Rob Bussey. You know, I got guys around me, they're good at this. Mm-hmm. And maybe start by saying, hey, would you help me? Would you help me in this area? Don't ask, would you disciple me in everything, you know? But mm-hmm. I want to grow in this area. I think mm-hmm. God's asking me to grow in this area. Maybe it's somebody, I was blessed to have, you know, Charlie Meyer and Rob Gerber, both guys that love the Word of God, who got me into the Word and loving the Word like they did. And I'm blessed by that. So that's how I would maybe start. I think maybe some things for ourselves as we go into this is really having a posture of humility to say, it's okay if I don't know how to do stuff mm-hmm. or if I have weak areas. So I think presenting yourself to that person saying, look, I really want to grow. I don't think I'm good at this at all. In fact, I'm terrified of even sharing my testimony or whatever, just bringing a heart of humility to it. And then be ready to be stretched. Mm-hmm. If you're going to ask somebody to take some time and meet with you, maybe it's to learn how to have a quiet time. Mm-hmm. It's going to take time to do that, and you have to be committed to it. So come humbly, be ready to jump in, be uncomfortable, and put effort and energy into learning and growing in that area. Mm-hmm. And maybe that relationship would grow to where you're learning more than maybe just that one area. You know, I think that's where I would start. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other ways to do it, but that's where I would begin.
Yeah. I like that. I like that thought that, you know, hey, there's something I'd like to get a little bit better at. There's something that when I hear it from the stage, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't ever want to do that, but I'd like to maybe know how to do it. I'd like to know how to do it a little bit better so I don't get so terrified, you know, at thinking about evangelism or something like that. So reaching out to someone you know did it well, maybe you got to see a testimony from the stage or whatever, but I like that idea. And what would you say to the person who just generally thinks, "Hey, I'm kind of a mess right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to be less of a mess. Of a mess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Hopefully they're connected in small group. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot can happen in small group. Not everything can happen in the context of because our group is a little bit bigger. Sometimes it needs to be in that smaller setting. But I think certainly getting them plugged into a small group. And then finding somebody in that group that you could confess to if you haven't. Say, hey, I got some struggles in this area. Again, leading with humility and transparency to say, I really need some help. Do you have any ideas? Would you be willing to meet with me? Help me get a little bit of a foundation here around my faith or answering questions. You know, Jesus, I appreciate Jesus. He would take the questions. Of course, he would answer. I think he only answered like 3 questions out of all the questions. That somebody told that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I learned that somewhere. But just being in a relationship or even a group where you can be free to be you, and then people can minister to you. We had a men's time with our small group the other night. Just really appreciate our small group. It's filled with amazing people, and we have a variety of people at different stages. And we just ministered to one another on Tuesday night. It was just beautiful. So I think small group is a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you talk about the humility aspect. There's a few things that it seems like people aren't really willing to talk about. Money, one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
How to raise your kids seems to be another one of those things. Mm-hmm. People aren't always happy to hear that kind of constructive feedback. Okay. But having a posture of maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I need some growth. Can you help me?
Yeah, I can't figure it out on my own. I've tried.
Yeah.
I'm at a place where
I've
been praying and asking God for help, and really what God wants is for us to be connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big first step, but it seems like the most important first step.
Yeah. And one other thought on that. I do think there's times where we could initiate too if we're ready to disciple somebody. And we'll talk about that, I think, here too. But but we can initiate as well. I remember going to Rob Bussey. Rob and Michelle had come to our church many years ago, 20 years ago or more. I forget now. But we were in a small group. Kathy and I weren't leading a small group at that time. And I just saw these guys were hungry. They wanted to read the Word. They wanted to dive in. They were young in their faith. And I just said, Rob, would you want me to disciple you? And he goes, yeah, I really like that. We just began meeting. And it was such a blessing to my life because we both grew tremendously during that time. Here's this young believer who just had a tremendous love for God's Word. And so when we got together, our conversations were rich. There was growing trust and transparency. And that was me initiating. I felt like God was saying, Mike, just ask him. And he could say no, and that's okay. He could say no. But he said yes, and it just launched us into – we have an amazing – friendship and amazing relationship now, and we helped each other along the way.
Yeah.
And we still are. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. So along those lines, how do you know when you're ready to make disciples, to disciple people?
Right. Yeah. I like the stages of growth again. And maybe you'd say, well, I want to at least be a young adult. What's cool about those stages is just like the stages of physical growth, the stage from a child to a young adult is pretty significant and pretty important. They go from me-centered as a child to, oh, there's other people. I should serve them. Oh, yeah, okay, to that outward focus. So I think as you move into that young adult world spiritually – or if you'd consider yourself a parent, you're ready to start, fully investing in it. I wouldn't wait. Here, my one main thought on this one is don't wait till you think you have all the answers because that's too late. You're never going to disciple anybody, mm-hmm. right? But I think if you're a person who's characterized by outward focus, mm-hmm. You're serving and you really genuinely want to help people. You don't want to be the answer man. Or answer person, you genuinely want to help that person grow, and you know you have some things to offer. You have your failures to offer. You have your testimony to offer. Maybe you have some skills, things that you've grown in that you could go. I could teach you how to read the Word. I could teach you how to pray. I think you jump in and you just, you know, you look for those places and ask God, God, how do you want to use me in multiplying, mm-hmm. you know, my life into somebody else? So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Those
yeah,
are a couple
yeah.
thoughts. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think this is a great question. I think people wait too long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we just got to dive in and see how God wants to use us. And it doesn't have to be comprehensive, you know, like a comprehensive discipleship thing. Yeah. It can be just in one area that you, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Acts, one reason, you know, you said you, one reason you love the Gospels, right? And we get to yeah. see Jesus doing it. And then Acts is where we get to see right. the people he did it with doing it. You know, you get right. to see the reproduction
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And boy, it just seemed like, here's this truth. Here's this thing everybody needs to hear for the sake of their own souls. Let's tell people. And as they're going out telling people, it seems like they're kind of figuring out things as they go, right? I mean, there's, you don't, like you said, you don't have to know everything about the Bible. Like you don't,
right.
you don't even have to know what hermeneutics means
yeah,
to make disciples. Right. And that's okay, right? I mean, as you're getting to know the scriptures, you're getting to know the Lord, it's good to bring people along with
yeah.
you in that right. journey. All right. Hey, let's learn how to find out the answers together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think I heard somewhere that's in John, or I Googled it.
Right.
Let's find out. Let's open up John and read it, and then maybe we can have some conversation about it. I mean, that doesn't take a lot. But like you said, as you're that young adult, you're just thinking about other people.
Right.
yeah. Maybe even someone comes. Maybe as you're listening to this right now or watching it, somebody comes to your mind. And you're like, I should reach out. I should reach mm-hmm. out to that person. Maybe
yeah.
they want to be discipled,
right.
or I really admire that guy.
Yeah.
Maybe I should, or gal. Maybe I should reach out to them and see if they'll be willing to meet with me. You
right.
know.
I like that. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot. Lord's been putting a particular man on my heart, and I feel like he's asking me to just say, hey, would you want to just meet and just read the word together? Because this gentleman is starting to show interest in the Bible and the scriptures. And I'm like, it'd be fun to just get together, and even if we got together once in a while and just opened it up and just started reading together, that might help him to grow in his desire and learn how to do it himself. So mm-hmm. those are the promptings, I think, from the Spirit, where we just need to go, it's okay if I don't feel totally equipped,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Here's one other thought on that. And this goes back to the, you know, making sure we're discipling our leaders. I would encourage, if you're going to jump into discipling, make sure you're in a type of relationship where you're being discipled too, mm-hmm. or you're accountable to some others, because then you can understand that kind of relationship so that you can then live it out with the person that you're discipling. It's not a hierarchy thing or a value thing at all,
mm-hmm.
but it is a maturity thing, which mm-hmm. is totally okay, I think. And so just be in a good spot yourself. Are you a person that's humble and outwardly focused? Do you know how to feed yourself from the word? And are you connected? Are you accountable? Are you willing to take feedback
mm-hmm.
and input from somebody else? Mm-hmm. And if the answers to those kinds of things are, yeah, then let's go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so big, is having just someone above you pouring into you
yeah.
or someone next to you pouring into you, because you're just going to get, you're going to get burnt out so fast if you don't have that, right? If you're just constantly pouring into other people, constantly like trying to mm-hmm. disciple people without having anyone like coming into your life and saying like, hey, maybe you should try this. Hey, I'm going to encourage you in this. I think you're doing this well.
Right.
It's going to get to the point where you just feel like you're alone, like we talked about it, leadership, the loneliness of leadership. And I think that's something that I really appreciate about how our church is structured, right? With the accountability that we have from the top down, the plurality of pastors that we have pastors who are pouring into each other, that there's overlap. And how that all works. And so I think seeing that like trickle down, I think it's going to be amazing to yeah. watch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too, Jesse. Just, yeah, we have leaders. Over the years, we've had a lot of leaders burn out. I've been mm-hmm. in that season of life where I feel like I keep just give. So, yeah, we gotta take care of each other. I'm excited about what God's doing. You guys, I really appreciate just being able to talk through this stuff and we're going to see how God's going to begin to multiply this. And I'm just thankful I get to be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen to that. Jesse, last week, did I mention the Paul Barnabas Timothy thing? I just can't remember.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. I'll just say it again.
I didn't listen. So.
Yeah. Fair. So one thing that John Shelkoff said to a bunch of us young guys at some mm-hmm. wedding reception, you know, as John Shelkoff did, is like, hey, I'm going to say something really profound face, you know, and we all lean in. But he said, for us to be at peak health as a disciple, you need three really important relationships in your life. You need a Paul, you need a Barnabas, and you need a Timothy. And that Paul, that's the person who's mentoring you, who's building into you. Maybe they're... Hopefully, they're further along in their faith. They're further along in their walk. Hopefully, they're older enough that they say, hey, I remember that stage, and this is what we did. These are the mistakes we made, whatever. Well, then you need a Barnabas. That's someone who's, right, the iron sharpening iron, and that's happening in all the stages. But that's a person who's saying, you know, that's like your accountability person. That's mm-hmm. a peer, really, that's on the same level. And then a Timothy. You need to build into somebody. Yeah. You need to have somebody that you're building into, who you're reproducing. And then hopefully that person then is doing all the same stuff, right? So the Paul, the Barnabas, the Timothy, those are, if you want peak, like disciple health, you need those three relationships. And they ebb and flow. They ebb and flow for sure. But kind of, okay, who is this person in my life right now? Who's my Paul right now? Who's mm-hmm. my, you know, having those in mind really help. They really help a lot in terms of growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. One kind of last topic that we don't have written on the question sheet, but it's something that you brought up just before we started recording, and that's obstacles towards discipleship. I know in my life there the seasons where I was like, oh man, I don't really have anyone discipling me, or I feel like I should be discipling someone, but I'm not. And the things that kind of prevented me from pursuing that were the biggest, I think, was just fear. I think there was a fear for me that I wasn't ready to disciple someone, or if mm-hmm. I was like looking for someone to disciple me, it was like, well, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to burden them. They've got enough going on. So how would you encourage someone who's maybe is experiencing like fear with discipleship, or what other obstacles might there be?
Yeah, the fear, fear in terms of discipling somebody and maybe not knowing how to do it. I think we've talked a little bit about that, but I think you just gotta ask. You mm-hmm. just gotta ask somebody, would you work with me? But there are other obstacles. I think, are there people who are wanting to be discipled? That's one of the obstacles we identified. And there are some. There are mm-hmm. people who are hungry. Not everybody. Like, let me just use small group as an example. I think if you look at a small group, you're going to have a cross-section of people who want to, you know, jump in and really grow, and others who are, maybe they're just there checking the box. Mm. And so identifying those that are hungry and going after them and saying, hey, you want to get together? Let's work on some things. Let's go through this together, whatever. But there's the time piece, and you guys talked about this last week, where somehow this has to be priority, mm-hmm. right? And think about it in terms of a discipler. Okay, let's say we're going to want to disciple people, which we do want to disciple people. We also need to have the Paul. So I got to meet with my Paul, and I got to meet with my Barnabas, and I got to meet with my Timothy. How mm-hmm. do you do all that, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about this at the leadership meeting the other night, and somehow it all has to come together, because how do you not do one of those things, one of those types of relationships? Mm. And I don't have an answer, by the way. I'm just saying, this. You said it, Jesse, this is our life. This is what we are here doing, so that we can become more like Christ and bring the gospel to as many people as we possibly can, help them then do the same thing when we're gone. So it has to somehow move up. But you guys know, we can't make it move up for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there are Rob Bussies of the world, when they're young, that go, I just want that. I want to, you know, soak it up. You're like that, Jesse. You've been like that. Number of years, you've just, I want more. I want to learn. I want to grow. I think if we're watching, we'll find those people. And look in your small group first. And then, I know I might get in trouble for this. Jeff Bruin might not be happy with me here, but you might have to go outside your small group. I'm a small group guy. I'm a small group guy. You might have to go rogue. Actually, you know, there's relational context in ministry. There's relational context at work, where you can be discipling people that aren't in your small group. We're not going to put a box around that, but start there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably some hungry people there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's natural relationships, like you said, relational contacts. I know Jeremy Winter. Maybe some of you remember him. Maybe some of you don't. He moved down to Florida, but you know, he had a brother that he was just really reaching out to, and that brother came to a saving faith, and they were on the phone all the time. Mm-hmm. That brother eventually moved two doors down from him in Florida, and they're just doing it together all the time, doing life together, doing mm-hmm. discipleship together. There's just natural relationships. I mean, hopefully your small group can be a great place to start with that, like you said, but it's important to keep an eye out for what God might be doing in other areas.
Did we hit on your question about fear? I'm not sure if we did or not, just in terms of getting
a little
over
bit.
That,
it was kind of a jumbled question.
That.
I kind of asked two questions at once there. So
I think fear is a big part of what we talked about. Yeah. But we gotta jump in and try. We're gonna fail too. That's the thing. I think about ways in which I discipled people in certain areas, and I wish I could go back and do it differently now. Mm. Maybe in the area of parenting would be a perfect example for me. I thought I knew a lot about parenting, you know, mm-hmm. at one phase, and now that I'm older and I have grandkids, I didn't know that much. And I was discipling people in parenting, and it's like, yeah. So you go, okay, God's helping me grow. I can disciple better as I grow. So it gives me that motivation to want to be discipled. And I'm blessed. I got guys that are working with me, helping me grow. I was talking to Mark Bowen yesterday on the phone. Mark's retired pastor at hometown. And yet he continues to disciple me. I went through the Great Commission Leadership Institute with Mark, with a small group of guys. And Mark continues to disciple me, pray for me, encourage me, cheerlead me. So he's one of those Paul guys for me. And I so need it. Mm-hmm. And I've been following Jesus for 40 years. I so need it. And I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Grateful.
Yeah. You know what I hear is not an obstacle in your life is pride. And I know you talked about having a humble posture. That's the word, not position, but posture. Any words or thoughts on pride as an obstacle?
Yeah, gosh, I think I'm battling with that all the time. Mm-hmm. We can have we talked about the grace of God being at the center of all this. There's no grace. There's no flow of grace if we come prideful. So I have to come with questions, right? I have to come. And the disciples wrestled with this. So I think we can take great comfort from that. There's those moments where they're arguing about who's the greatest. I love that section because that pride bubbles up and it's in there, but it's not my identity. It's not who I am. I'm a new creation. So I have to come and go, I don't have this figured out. And where I've messed up, be able to go, I messed up here. Mm-hmm. Would you help me get it right? You know, I used to think this way. It wasn't right. Help me get it right. There's a lot of topics like that, right? Mm-hmm. Where God is faithful and patient to work with us along the way. So yeah, I think discipleship requires humility, right? Mm-hmm. Would you guys say, if I'm going to be discipled or disciple, I have to go. I love Paul David Tripp in his materials because his mantra is, you are not a grace graduate. I don't care how old you are in the Lord. You have not graduated from needing the grace of God every day. And I think that's really helped me to go, the same things I'm trying to pass on to this brother that I'm working with, I need too. Mm-hmm. And God is so generous and so patient. So,
yeah, I think it's C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity talks about pride and how it's the one thing that we see the most often in other people but fail to recognize in ourselves the most. So it's like, it's everyone else has it except for me, right?
Yeah.
And so it's we have to, in everything that we do, we have to approach it with humility and recognize our own shortcomings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that speaks to this relational piece because sometimes we don't see it, right? The blind spot. We need people who love us enough to go, dude, you are prideful.
Yeah.
Let me give you a couple examples of where that's showing up. And then we have to be humble enough to go, ooh, you're right. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have those people in our lives, we'll be stuck. Because I don't know about you guys, but it terrifies me to think of the grace of God not flowing. Mm. And God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So there's this gate that I've got to make sure is open, you know, if I want the grace to flow into ministry, into my life, into my relationships, into my disciple making. So, Jesus was filled with both truth, truth and grace.
Yeah, right. I think of even like the Sermon on the Mount, right, where he talks about like, right, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven, right? We have to have that gate open for it to flow out of us.
That's right.
In order for it to flow into us in the first place. If we keep that closed, it's going to close the top hatch too, right?
It's essential. Yeah. That's essential. And you guys are great examples of that. I appreciate the men around me that model humility and a willingness to say, I was wrong.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, thank you, Mike, for joining us today. Any last parting words of wisdom for us?
I said a lot of stuff. I appreciate you guys, too. Thanks for doing this, and excited to see what God's going to do as we get more intentional about making disciples of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really quick, for anyone that is interested, you've referenced this book, The Real Life Discipleship Training Manual. Yeah. You know, it's not like a official church mandated thing, but a few people are going through it and they love it. Any parting words about maybe how they can get that, or and we can make links available and stuff too. But
yeah, you can go on Amazon and just type in Real Life Discipleship. It's a training manual. It's I think it's like 15, 16 bucks, something like that. And they encourage you to do it in a group setting, so you're working with each other. And really, this workbook is for spiritual young adults or parents who are ready to maybe be more focused, more intentional about knowing how to make disciples. It's not a comprehensive guide, but it gets you this vision and this framework which to work in to begin working with people. And you start practicing it in your group, working with each other, evaluating each other, and kind of learning how to, well, a lot of the stuff we talked about here today. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I think it's a great tool. I'm going through it with three other guys. We're a little past the midway point. There's 11 weeks of content. You do some homework assignments, and then you get together and talk about it. And I think it's great. It's a great tool.
Yeah.
It's not the only tool, but it's a great tool. I think it's gonna help us to build a little bit of a confidence, a humble confidence in discipling people and doing it kind of in the same way. It's not a formula, but a framework in which we work in together so we can have common language and a common direction.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I'm planning on going through it with some guys this summer. Yeah. That's Real Life Discipleship Training Manual is what it's called.
Yeah, and so it sounds like if you identified as like, I'm that person who would like to maybe consider discipling, but I don't know where to start, this could be a good resource for you and a few others.
Yeah, give it a shot and then send me some feedback. I'd like to hear how it goes. What are the strengths and weaknesses of this particular tool?
Sure. Yeah, and I can attest to the fact that it comes next day on Amazon. Mike spoke about it so passionately, I thought, well, I'm buying that immediately. Right. And so we did.
I get a small percentage. Amazon, you know.
Awesome.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mike, so much for joining us today. And thank you guys, the listeners. I've been really enjoying having these conversations. I hope you guys have been enjoying listening to them. And if you have, please let us know, because otherwise we don't know and we'll just do whatever we want to. But this is for you guys. We want to build you guys up, encourage you guys. So if there's any topics or guests you'd like us to have on, please let us know. Contact information is in the show notes. If you're watching on YouTube, know that we have an audio platform. You can find that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you find your podcast. And if you're listening on an audio platform, we do have a video version of this as well on YouTube. But for now, that's all we've got. So we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining us.
See ya.
Bye.